Amen. Well, take your Bibles this morning and go to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter number 3. Also wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who helped with the teen formal. It was a wonderful evening. It was busy. It was a busy evening, but we had a wonderful crowd here. I can't remember what the final count was. It was over 200 people here, and it was a wonderful time together. And I surely enjoyed it. It was the first one I'd ever been to, and enjoyed that. We still need help with the bake sale Tuesday, all right? I believe there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board for that as well. And then, one other thing I forgot. You forget a lot of things when you're not Pastor Aquas. All right, so y'all pray for him while he is away. He's, I believe, preaching in Arkansas this morning. He's probably already preaching and letting them have it. So y'all be praying for him. John chapter number 3. Some of you may be able to guess what verse we're going to go to. And hopefully this verse is not something that's too familiar to you. The whole Bible, really there are familiar verses, but they should never become so familiar that we just glance over them. So John chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for the mercies that you've shown us. Lord, none of us deserve to be here. None of us are worthy to be here, Father, but you allowed us to make it here safely. And Father, we want to thank you for it. We thank you for the God that you are, the sovereignty that you give, that you have, Lord, and the deity that you are. And Lord, thank you for your sacrifice on Calvary for us. Lord, as we look into your word here this morning, I pray that we would be edified and changed and charged up and encouraged, Lord, maybe even convicted. And Father, Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you as personal Savior, Lord, that you would show them their need for you today and their need for salvation. Father, I pray if there's one watching or listening that does not know you as Savior, that they would put their faith and trust in you today. Lord, and I pray that for those of us that are saved here this morning, that we would leave better than we came. We'll thank you and praise you and give you all the glory for it all, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Throughout the Bible, we find deep, profound truths that are often hidden from us as a reader. There are verses that, you know, there's verses in the Old Testament say, well, there's verses that say the secret things belong unto God. And there are things that we look at that sometimes we just don't understand in and of ourselves, but sometimes it is because of lack of study. Other times, we may be looking over the most simple of passages. John 3:16 has by far the most monthly searches across the globe at 2.1 million. Monthly searches across the globe, followed by Jeremiah 29:11 and Philippians 4:13 in joint second place. They only have 82,000 searches. So 82,000 searches all the way up to 2.1 million searches for John 3:16. This verse has been instrumental in the saving of so many people's lives, yet once saved, many sit this verse to the side. They begin to overlook the simple truths of this verse, and in doing so, they do themselves a great disservice. So with this in mind, let's look at all 25 words of this amazing verse. Most of you, even before you were saved, had heard John 3:16. You look at sporting events. You watch different sporting events or different events in the world, and you'll see somebody up in the crowd, and they're waving a sign that says what? John 3:16. It's such a popular verse that I believe in society, it's become just kind of words, and I think sometimes in the church it's just words on paper. So John 3:16, I want you to notice the first point. I have 10 points out of the 25 words. 10 points out of the 25 words. Number one, I want you to notice the great God. It says, "For God so loved the world." For God, the great God that is mentioned here. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Hebrews 3:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Out of all the different things that we could mention about our great God and who He really is to us here this morning at Grace of Calvary Baptist Church, I decided that I would want to look at how God never changes. God never changes. He is the same yesterday and today and forever, as it says in Hebrews 13 8, the God of the Old Testament is the same God as the God of the New Testament, the God that helped David escape Saul, the God that helped strengthen Samson, the God that helped Noah in the flood, the God that helped Daniel get out of the lion's den safely, the God that showed up for the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, the same God that took the five loaves and the two fishes and fed 5,000. I heard a story of a pastor. He did a two-part message, and he was preaching on the five loaves and the two fishes on one Sunday, and then the next Sunday he would preach the rest of the message. And he got up on Sunday morning and he said, I'm going to tell you how a man took 5,000 loaves and 2,000 fishes and fed five people. And he just misspoke. He said it the wrong way. And then the next Sunday, he said, Now, church, I'm going to tell you how he fed those people. He had preached the first half of the message. The next Sunday, he was preaching the second half. And he got up there and said, now I'm going to finish the story. I'm going to tell you how God fed all those people. And a man stood up in the back and he said, he used the leftovers from last week. Amen? But God, he took 5,000 people and fed them. And that's not including women and children. Five loaves and two fishes, that's all it took for him to feed those people. The same God that did that gave grace to Paul and his thorn in the flesh and saved Joseph from Potiphar's wife. All these things that happen through the God that never changes. Do you reckon God can deliver you from your little problem? Your little problem, whatever it may be a big problem to you here on this earth. But Paul, he talks about it and he says, hey, just for our light affliction, the light things that we have to go through on this earth, God will take care of you. The old song says, God will take care of you. And so I want you to remember that God never changes. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And He's always been providing and taking care of His children. Number two. Notice the great love for God, the great God. Number two, so loved the great love. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If you're saved here this morning, it's the love of God that saved you. The faith that you put into Him, but the love of God that started the whole journey for you to one day be saved. The love that keeps you and the love that never changes. He loves you as much today as He ever did. When you were still in your wickedness, in your sin, before you were saved, He loved you the same then as He does now. If you're not saved here today, He loves you just as much as He loves me. He loves you just as much as He loves the person next to you. He loves you just as much as He loves our pastor, Pastor Alquist. He loves each of us the same. The great love that God shows us in this verse. Now, it's interesting, the wording of John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're not saved, you're the enemy of God. You're not on God's side. You're not the friend of God, as it were. You are the enemy of God. And so if you're not saved here this morning, that's a scary ground to be on. But I have good news for you. There's a song that says, no greater love is known, no greater love is shown than when one lays his life down for a friend. But Jesus died for me when I was His enemy. His enemy. A love like this, I cannot comprehend. I don't understand why God would die for His enemy. I have enemies in this world, some people that I would look at maybe as enemies, the prince of the power of the air and all the different principalities and powers and Satan himself. But there are people that I wouldn't really say are on my side, but would I die for them? Would I give my life for them? Well, that's what God did for you. That's what God did for me. Just so that we'd have the chance to get saved. You still have the option. You can decide to not take Him up on His offer, yet He still died for you just so you'd have that opportunity. Amen. The great love, His wonderful love. He showed His love in His death, His design, His devotion, His dedication to us, His dispensing of His love to us, His divinity, His deliverance for us, and His delight is to love on us. How'd y'all like that alliteration there? He chooses to love us even though we're not lovely. There's no reason for us to be loved. Poor Patty, she has to love me. She made that decision herself, but she has to love me, right? Even when I'm not lovely, even when I'm not lovable, even when I'm in a bad mood and in the wrong spirit, she's supposed to love me, right? Well, that is what God does for us, even though we were his enemy. So the great God, the great love. Number three, it says the world. For God so loved the world, the great tragedy. The world's sin. I want you to notice that Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Obviously, we know that the one man that's mentioned here is Adam. And so as death came into the world by Adam, so death has passed upon all men. As cute as our son Grayson is to me and is to Patty, he has a sin nature within him, right? He is a beautiful little baby boy, but he has a sin nature within him. In himself, right now, he is wicked. He is wrong. He's in that wrong place. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The sin that the world has committed, the sins of the world today, it's a great tragedy. The earth's groan. Look at Romans 8, verse number 22. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." The earth itself, ever since sin first took place, has been ready to get rid of us. Right? It's tired of us. The earth itself, the earth that praises God, it talks about it in the Psalms, how the earth itself is it worships God, it praises the Lord. And so the earth itself is ready for us to be out of here. It's ready for the sin to be gone. It's ready for the sin to be over with, the great tragedy. But I notice that there's a saint's contribution to this great tragedy. The world. We sin. If you're saved here this morning, it's sad to say that we truly do. We sin a lot just like the world. We come up short very often. There was a young man that preached here at the team formal the other night, and he used an illustration. I've seen it before. But he was talking about how we're just giving half effort in our Christian life. We're not really giving it 100%. Can you honestly say you're giving anything 100% in your life? Are you giving 100% in your marriage? Are you giving 100% to your children? Are you giving 100% to your church? Are you giving, and I'm not talking about your money, but are you giving 100% effort to God in your life? I heard this illustration before, but you've seen, if you've ever seen sheep, and they're walking straight, right? Maybe they're herded and they're walking in a direction. They're walking in a straight line, right? Well, do you go up to the sheep and say, "Oh, you're such a good boy. You're a good sheep walking straight"? No. Who do you compliment? The shepherd. When you see sheep walk in the right direction, you compliment the shepherd and say, "Hey, you got a good handle on those sheep. They're doing what you're asking. They're doing what you're telling them to do. They're going the right direction." When is the last time that somebody looked at your marriage and said, "Man, I got to know, how are you holding that thing together? How are you dealing with this?" Maybe your wife has cancer, or maybe somebody in your family, a great tragedy has come into your life, and they say, "Hey, how are you holding yourself together?" And you say, "Let me introduce you to my shepherd." The sheep, as they walk straight, that compliments the shepherd, but the saints, we're failing. Christianity today is so subnormal that if any Christian began to act like a normal New Testament Christian, he would be considered abnormal. Leonard Ravenhill, a great preacher of years past, said that the church itself, we dress like the world. Oftentimes, when you go out in public, they should notice something's a little different, right? Just in the way that you dress. They should notice that something's different in the way that you act. When your waitress comes to you and you ask them for, y'all may not do this, but I may ask for a sweet tea, and they bring it to me, and they bring me an unsweet tea, and I take a sip of that. I'm not supposed to say, hey, lady, I asked for a sweet tea, not unsweet. The way that we act is so important, but Christians, right? Christians. Some of the most hard to deal with people sometimes are Christians. And we act just like the world, the great tragedy that Christ, he had to send himself to die for us, the world, the great tragedy. Yet, in Lamentations 3:22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." He is constantly wanting to give us mercy each and every day. You woke up this morning, God showed you mercy. You took more than one breath this morning, or one breath in general, God showed you mercy. You got up this morning, maybe you got a shower. Hopefully you did. Hopefully you did recently at least. If not, pray for the person next to you. But this morning you got up and you got to get ready and you got to put on clothes and you got to drive a car and you got to come to church you had transportation available to you to be here. It's such a thing that God shows us mercy. I don't deserve any mercy. When I think about myself, it should make you sick to think about the sin and the things that you cause God to go through. So we see the great God, the great love, the great tragedy. Number four, the great giver. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gives us everything. 1 Corinthians 4:7. "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And who and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" Everything we have comes down from the Father of lights. That's what the Bible tells us. Everything that we have comes from God. Each and everything. He is constantly trying to give us. In this verse, He's trying to give us eternal life and show us eternal life. His mercy, as I said, is new every morning. His compassions, they're never going to fail. He gives you a place to go. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'm so thankful that God gives me a place to run to. I've said this before, but the people that they're not saved, they don't have God in their life, they don't have church in their life, they don't have a church family, I don't know how they go through some of the tragedies they go through. It just doesn't make sense. Every time in my life when anything bad has ever happened, what do? We run to God and we say, "God, I need your help. I need your help, Lord. I need your guidance. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need grace to help in time of need. Please, Lord, I need you." But the world, they don't have that. They don't have that, and it's because they have not accepted this world. This verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gave, James 4:6, I'm so thankful for this verse, "But He giveth more grace." He giveth more grace. How many of you have sinned the same sin more than once? Everybody's hand ought to go up, right? I've done the same thing more than once. But you know what? He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace over and over and over again. He gives more grace than any of us deserve. I'm so glad that I'm not the one in charge. I'm glad that I'm not God, because I probably wouldn't put up with nearly as much as He does. He is a merciful God, a graceful God, and He shows it to us. "Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." He is a great giver. Number five, the great gift. We're halfway there. The great gift. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten." His only begotten, the only one He had. All He had, He gave it. The precious Lamb of God. I cannot imagine giving anything like that, any kind of sacrifice like that, to people, again, that had the option to choose Him or not, even though He was giving the gift. He sacrificed His Son. He gave His Son a ransom for all. He gave the precious Lamb of God just for you to have the chance and the option to get saved. Are you saved here this morning? If you are saved here this morning, the Holy Spirit gave you your answer when I just asked that question. Are you saved here this morning? He gave the precious Lamb of God, His only begotten, the great gift. Number six, the great cost. It says His only begotten Son. Christ died for us. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ suffered for us. He walked a mile in our shoes. When Christ came down to this earth, He came down and He was tempted as like man, just like we are. And He walked this earth and He dealt with the different things of this earth. He dealt with grief. He dealt with sorrow. He dealt with decision making. He dealt with all those things that we deal with constantly. He walked a mile in our shoes. It is a great cost, the Son of God, to see Him high and lifted up this morning. I hope you can see, have a fresh look in your mind. Every time that we take up the Lord's table, I have a fresh look in my mind, a fresh vision of what Christ did for me. And seeing Him hanging on that cross, it can only help move me to want to do more and to understand the great cost that was involved. His only begotten Son. Don't leave your first love. Grace of Calvary Baptist Church, don't leave your first love. Jesus Christ should be our first love. We fell in love. You should fall in love with the Lord more and more each and every day. And a good way to fall in love with Him is read His Word. Be in His Word. Talk to Him. You show Him that you care. If Patty and I are going to have any kind of a relationship, we have to talk to each other, right? If you're going to have any kind of a relationship with your spouse, you have to talk to each other, right? Well, the only way that God, he gave me everything he wants me to know about himself in this book, and if I don't take the time to read it, what kind of a relationship will we have? What kind of a love will we have together? Seeing the great cost of his son. Don't leave. Don't forget about him. Don't forget who he is. Number seven, the great multitude. It says, his only begotten son, that whosoever, anyone. If you're here this morning, it doesn't matter if you, if one day you were a drunk. It doesn't matter if you're drunk, walked in off the street. I've heard many pastors and preachers before that talk about years past when they used to be into all kinds of different things, drugs and alcohol. And there's an amazing man of God down in, I believe he's in Tennessee, maybe even North Carolina. And I've heard him preach many times. And he was one that was in a Hell's Angels biker gang. A Hell's Angels biker gang, and God saved him out of it. When he says, whosoever, he means whosoever. Whosoever will, let him come. Please, this morning, if you're not saved, you need to get that taken care of today. The great multitude that he's reaching out to, anyone, everyone. Revelation 22:17, it says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You see, over and over and over again in the Gospels, where the God that never changes, the Christ that never changes, he goes to these people. And you'd wonder, why on earth is God around these people? Why is God around all the wrong crowd, as it were, really? And trying to reach them is what he was trying to do, and see them saved. And so when he says anyone, that means you. Anyone means you. And for those of us that are saved here this morning, we should be so glad, not only that we are saved, but that he allowed for us to have the opportunity to get saved. He showed us the gospel one day. He opened our eyes one day. He wooed us. He drew us to him one day. Amen. It says, whosoever will, that whosoever believeth in him. Number eight, the great faith, believeth in him. Just believe. Just believe. Just confess your sin to God. Just believe. Just repent. Show him that he knows that he is the only way for you to get to heaven. In fact, the only way for you to be sure this morning that you are on your way to heaven is that one day you were sure that you were on your way to hell. You knew that nothing could save you except for God, and you knew in your heart, I'm a sinner. And nothing I do can save me, and I'm on my way to hell. If you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven this morning, there had to be a time in your life where you knew you were a sinner and you were on your way to hell. And you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. I remember that day. I was 11 years old, or that night, 11 years old. I was laying down in my twin-size bed up on the top bunk, and I was laying there. I could not get to sleep. I thought I had gotten saved when I was 5 years old, and everybody in my family told me that I was saved. And you know, that'll convince you a lot of times. I hope that you know for sure in your own heart, in your own mind. It's not just your parents telling you that you were saved. But I remember laying there in bed and wondering, I don't remember this time that they tell me about when I was 5 years old. I don't remember it at all, and that bothered me. That really bothered me. And so at 11 years old, I'm laying there. I can't get to sleep. I'm crying. I'm worried that I'm going to die and go to hell. And so I call out to God. I knew what to do, and I called out to God, and I asked him to save me. I showed confession. I repented of my sin, and I woke up the next morning in that same twin-size bed, but I met a king-size God. Amen. I got out of that bed the next morning. I went to bed a sinner, and I woke up saved. I went to bed lost, and I woke up saved. And so I'm telling you this morning that God wants you to be saved here this morning. Whosoever will, let him come, and let him have great faith, believeth in him. The next words, number nine, should not perish, the great promise. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Once saved, always saved. You're saved forever. No man can pluck you out of his hand. You can know for sure that you're saved. I've always found it so strange when somebody says that you can lose your salvation. And the only thing I can picture in my mind is that God has saved me, and he's holding me. If you can lose your salvation, he's holding me over hell. And he's saying, hey, watch it. Watch out. I don't want to have to let you go, but I'll let you go. And now you're back where you started. And then if you get saved again, then I'll hold you again. But he's always ready to let go. No, that doesn't make any sense. The salvation that I received cannot be lost. And I'm glad that it's not up to me to keep myself saved, because newsflash, all of us would be lost again if it was up to us. If it was up to me, I wouldn't be saved again over and over and over again. It would be up to God, and it is up to God to keep me saved. And the great promise that he says, you should not perish. No man's going to pluck you out of his hand. But then also, he gives us a great promise that we can know that we're saved. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may have it, or may believe on the name of the Son of God. God wants you to know this morning. He wants you to take Him up on His great promise. But lastly, it says, but have everlasting life. If you're saved here this morning, as we just read the missionary letter, there's going to be a great outcome one day. A great outcome, because you took Him up on the offer, where He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He doesn't just save me. He doesn't just say, it would be enough if God said, all right, you put your faith and trust in me, now you don't have to go to hell, and that was it. But no. God says, you know what? You put your faith and trust in me. You've trusted in the gospel that I've given you. You took my Son to be your Savior. And what I'm going to do, I'm not just going to save you from the devil's hell. No. I'm going to take you over here, and I'm going to put you in heaven to have everlasting life. It would be a wonderful thing. Really, it would be a wonderful thing if we just got saved and then we just went away and we were no longer and we didn't have to go to hell. But He goes much farther than that. He takes care of us with everlasting life. And He allows us into heaven. He takes us to His house. Takes us to His house. I'm so glad for God's house down here. I am. I'm so thankful for God's house down here. But one day, I'm so excited for the day I get to go to God's house. I get to go see God's house and go get to be a part of that in heaven one day. The missionary that was mentioned is enjoying the joys of heaven today. The pastor that I had growing up is enjoying the joys of heaven today. Family members who have gone, different people who I've known along the way who have gone that are enjoying heaven today. It's real and it's on its way. But have everlasting life. What an ending to one of the sweetest, deepest, and doctrinal verses in the Bible. One day, not because of myself and not because of my works, but one day I will rest in heaven. I know it's hard down here sometimes. If you're saved this morning, you know the difficulties of this world. If you're not saved this morning, you know the difficulties of this world. But there's a way for you to have everlasting life. And it's all found in this one verse. 25 words, the most popular verse in the Bible, most popular verse globally. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Are you saved here this morning? Let's bow for a word of prayer. The Bible tells us that we can know that we're saved. I hope this morning that you have a confidence, not in yourself, but in what God has done for you, that you are saved. If you're saved here this morning, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's no doubt in your mind at all, you're not questioning it. If you would just raise your hand, raise it up, enjoy this time. You get to raise your hand and say, I'm saved and I know it. You put your hands down, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're not sure this morning, maybe you didn't get to raise your hand. Maybe say, you know, I don't know who this great God is. Not on a personal level. I don't understand the great love that He showed me in His gift to me. The great giver that He is. But I do know that I am that whosoever. And I would love to be saved here this morning. If you're not sure exactly what to do, we have people that can show you and lead you through how to be saved here this morning. If you're not saved this morning, if you're not sure, if you just raise your hand, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just lift your hand and let us know that you need to be saved. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the great truths of your word. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to not grow comfortable and familiar with these passages that we look at each and every day, Lord, these popular verses, these ones that you have allowed us to have and you've given us so graciously, Lord. I pray that we wouldn't just become familiar with them, but Lord, that we would see the depth of your word. Father, I pray if there's one here, maybe they didn't raise their hand, that just they weren't comfortable, they were nervous, Father, that you would just help them, show them their need for you. And I pray that you would just save that soul this morning. Help us, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Everyone stand and take your hymnals and turn to page 310. I have decided to follow Jesus. Perhaps this morning you're not sure if you're saved, but maybe even if you do know, who's somebody you can go tell and say, hey, come with me. I want to show you something from John 3:16. They say, oh, I know that verse. And say, ah, do you? Let me show you a little bit about this verse. Number 310 as we sing.